Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine as we talk to the candidates in the hot seat of Richmond. We're joined now by Labor candidate Lauren O'Dwyer-Macker.
And welcome, Lauren. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good, thank you.
That's
for a
good
Saturday morning.
You've got black and white on. You've got black and white on, Collingwood.
Collingwood, yeah. Yeah. Well, Collingwood, obviously within the electorate, I'm a mad footy fan.
So, it does.
Yeah.
So for our listeners, basically we're asking each of the candidates pretty much the same question. Sometimes we diverge a bit. We try to keep to it. At the end of it, we will give the candidate at least 30 seconds to make their final pitch. So I'm going to kick off, Lauren, and ask you to try and keep your answers to 30 seconds, if you can. I'm going to kick off with the first question. And it's a two-part, but how would you rate the performance of our state parliament currently?
Oh, the current state parliament is factually the most progressive government when it comes to LGBTIQ plus reforms in the history of Australia. So in terms of where we're sitting legislatively, all people are now equal under the eyes of the law in Victoria. And as someone who worked for the very first equality minister in the state in my short stint as an advisor, I was pretty proud to be a start of those reforms we made around same-sex adoption reforms, changes to birth certificates, the historic apology to people convicted of homosexual acts and the subsequent expungement of their records, gay conversion practice banning, as well as representation around LGBTI strategy, the equality minister, the commissioner, and a representative task forces to
inform
that
pleased
policy. Yeah, absolutely. And we're sitting in a pride centre we put together.
Exactly. Now, I've got to ask, the city of Yarra.
Yes.
Tried to stop Lucas Moon from campaigning on the footpath, despite the fact that Dick Wynne, mm-hmm, the member since 1993, I think.
99. He gets cranky when I age him more than he is.
That, you know, he was able to campaign, you know, in the same place, not with a stall, but on the footpath. Mm-hmm. So what's going on there? What city of Yarra? What are they smoking?
I genuinely don't know. We go into that particular market that Lucas has been approached at regularly, not as often as Lucas, but we've never been approached. So we received a letter this week to make clear the guidelines about what we can and can't do. But before then, I've had no correspondence from city of Yarra.
It's good to see them being diligent about something.
Lauren, you spoke about some of the monumental changes that have happened in Victoria, but we'd want to know a little bit more about you. Mm-hmm. How would you engage with our LGBTIQA plus communities, both now and in the future, should you be elected on November 26th?
Sure. Yeah. Well, look, this is a community I'm part of. Like, the first thing I do in the morning is get up and look at myself and, hey, well done, Les. Are you looking good? So, in addition to sort of my knowledge of my own communities and work in the arts sector, you know, communities that are disproportionately dominated by queer communities. It's important for me to recognise that we are standing on the shoulders of real giants, and there's no way that I could look in myself as proudly as I do or walk down a street in Collingwood holding the hand of a girlfriend in such a safe way without recognising the work of some of our elders. In particular for me, Jamie Gardner's been amazing. Mm. And really looking at it going forward into the future if elected, it's about recognising the age, class and other intersectionalities within our community that need to be supported for best possible outcomes.
Can I ask Lauren, what would you see as the top priorities? And I know this will be informed by, you know, when you're out and about, you know, pressing the flesh. What do you, the top priorities for the LGBTQI community? What do you see them as, and how you advocate for them?
Yeah, well, look, we're not, much like many other marginalised communities, we're not a homogenous group. We don't all have the same priorities. We come from different backgrounds. Our families are more accepting of some than others. And that is very much representative of the Richmond electorate too. It may be a tiny geographic electorate, but it's quite disparate in terms of its needs, wants and views. But really, in terms of the LGBTI community, we absolutely absolutely need to see more funding directed specifically for LGBTI services to kind of mitigate that activist fatigue and minority stress that you see across LGBTIQ plus community groups, and making sure that our mainstream services are sharing their, you know, their part of the funding pie with services that actually can represent us properly across legal, health, housing. I've had a great experience recently with the Neighbourhood Justice Centre and their LGBTI caseworkers that they have in there, and this is what makes an improvement to not only our lives but our mental health outcomes. Melbourne Pride's coming back to Fitzroy next year. That has been the number one thing. Like, let's not just look at a deficit model of the things that we need to do to make us equal in society. Let's also give our kids and our communities a chance to celebrate ourselves with pride. So it's important to me that we get that balance right of the right community supports and funding outcomes, but also opportunities to celebrate with pride in safe spaces. And particularly, one final thing is around greater protections for our trans, gender diverse and non-binary communities, that they are the latest in generational or decade shifts in attacks on minorities, and we've got a lot of work to do there to support our communities.
The next question leads into that. I'll ask Nevena to ask it, but it actually leads into that.
Yeah, very on topic, Lauren. So we've been really concerned about why trans people have been the subject of so much debate. To you, what does this say about community feelings on the issue on trans and gender diverse people in our communities?
I don't think it is an opinion of the Richmond community. I think it is a shift in what are decades worth of attacks on particular minoritised communities, and this is the latest one. We've come a long way in terms of support for First Nations community. It used to be for same-sex attracted communities and the prejudice against us, and now the latest topic or target for conservative governments is the trans and gender diverse community. And as a mother of a 10-year-old, right at a point when all of these little 10-year-olds are starting to explore sexuality and gender, it's front of mind for me. Yeah.
Next one, and if I ask, if try and keep it to 30 seconds if you can. Are you committed to ensuring that our Equal Opportunity Act will protect people with diverse genders as well as diverse sexual orientations in organisations and institutions?
Yes.
Good.
I wanted to give it that short, but I can't help myself. Look, the time that I was the equality advisor, I sat there and watched Matthew Guy himself talk about how our community needs to be tolerated. You don't tolerate the LGBTIQ plus community, you tolerate a head cold, you celebrate us. I have sat in the chambers and watched members of Matthew Guy's opposition berate and the personal attacks from not only within chambers but within Parliamentary Estimates Committee of out members of our community are some of the most disgusting and upsetting things I've ever heard. It makes my blood boil that this is even up for debate again.
Hot button topic. In relation to integrity, what are your priorities for ensuring that there is a robust and transparent framework for ensuring integrity in politics?
I think we need to get the right people elected. I think we need to be looking at individual candidates right across the state and looking at individuals' track records, if they have had a chance to take on any form of public office, what they have done, how they've conducted themselves, how they communicate, and make sure that from the very outset you've got people that are in there that understand that they are representing communities. It is a representative role for whoever you've been elected by, and you are a public servant and you are in there to serve.
Quick one. What do you see as the future for community media outlets such as Joy? We're completely biased here. And it's Joy 94.9, not Joy FM. Thank you.
Okay. That's a change in branding.
No. Joy FM is a station with a different interest to us.
Oh, yes. Actually, I did know that. Anyway, sorry. I'm eating up my 30 seconds. I am a next generation candidate, and there are a few of us coming through in this particular Victorian election where we have an opportunity to reshape the engagement between political officers and the media. And that's really important to me. That's sort of how I've shaped my conversations with journalists right from the outset and onwards. Are you allowed to swear on here? I'm pretty no bull.
That's all right. That's
I've got the producers shaking their heads madly. And what you see is what you get, and I expect the same back. And if we move away from sort of that gotcha style type of journalism, we're going to lead to better outcomes for actual people that need to read the press. But from a community radio perspective, I'm on the board of PBS. We've just announced $50K worth of funding for 3CR to make sure that they can increase their accessibility and inclusion practices over there. And, you know, long-time lover and member of Joy FM.
Don't forget us.
You want some funding too, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I'll talk to Nina Taylor and Harriet Ching. So, yeah, I think my record on community radio and engagement speaks for itself.
Cool.
And Lauren, this is going to be something a lot of people are asking. How are you advising voters direct their preferences and why?
How am I advising voters? Look, in terms of obviously all political parties engage in preference negotiations, and that happens at a much higher level than me. My priority has very much been, I need to see you put me number one on that ballot to make sure that we end up with another stable Labor government that can deliver progressive actions.
Now, I'm not asking you to tell us.
Mm.
Have you decided yourself how you're allocating your preferences?
Oh, you know what? I haven't.
You haven't?
No, I have not even thought about it. I've been too busy talking to others.
Okay.
Good answer.
No,
I genuinely should probably think about that at some point.
Yeah. It might help because it's going to be a close race, I think,
it's a three-way contest. You've got three incredibly active candidates here.
Yeah.
It could go anyway. It's going to come down to a handful of votes and a handful of suburbs.
Now, you've got 30 seconds thereabouts to give the final pitch as to why the voters of Richmond should put you number one.
Mm. Look, I think it's because I'm one of you. Look, I'm a country kid that, you know, first in family to finish high school and go to uni. I've built my life in the creative industries and community sport. And for me, that's how we create happy and healthy communities. But the reason I'm running for Labor is because we can't do any of that without those core values and supports around and social safety nets around health, education, jobs and equality. Like I've built a good life and a career for myself in the arts and in my community. I'm not running for Parliament to sit on a crossbench and lob bombs. I'm in there to be a senior and loud member of a Labor government and to represent Richmond as actively as the wonderful Richard Wynne for the last 23 years.
Great. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you for making the time to come in. We've got to go to some important announcements really, really quickly. But I want to thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Macca.
We wish all the candidates well, because it is going to be a tough fight in Richmond. Next week is Albert Park, another tough one.
Oh, how exciting.
And the week after that is Hawthorne, which is another one that's going to, I think, go down to the wire. So thank you for making the time to come in. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And
can I just request some Alanis Morissette again?
Yeah.
Every time, Macca.
I tell you what, I don't want to be investigated by IBAC, but give, you know, all the candidates out there, Joy needs your support. Do you reckon that's an IBAC matter, Paul?
I think it probably would be. Macca, we're going to say goodbye. So just on the show today, quick wrap-up. Thank you to Sally Capp, Lord Mayor of Melbourne, Paul Kidd, who came in to talk to us, HIV and criminal lawyer, and then the candidates that we had through, Lucas Moon, Gabriella DeVitri, and Lauren O'Dwyer. Yeah. Thank you to all of those candidates, and thank you for your messages that have come through, particularly the one that talked about the Macedonian marvel. thank you very much.
Yes. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.